sing hymns, when we sing spiritual songs like scripture commands us to do, he said there's a part of the brain that's triggered, you know, when they did their studies, and we have a vaccination that can turn that part off. And I was thinking, is it not possible the abomination that causes desolation, which I believe the body is the temple. I believe that there could have been a type and shadow in an immediate fulfillment in 70 AD when the physical second temple was destroyed. But now we read from Paul, who wrote 2 Thessalonians, we also read from Paul in Corinthians that he says the body is the temple. And so can you not say that there's going to be a fulfillment of 2 Thessalonians 2, the abomination that causes desolation? Is it making sense what I'm trying to say? Like,
yeah, I think you're making a lot of sense. I mean, I think you can also parallel it with the scripture that says, as it was in the days of Noah. And we know what was going on there. We know the tainted genetic lines.
They were trying to corrupt DNA.
During, right. And by the way, this RNA, this is affecting the genetic code.
Right.
And this is playing God. God has a specific DNA pattern for each one of his creation. And what you're saying, I absolutely concur with. By the way, that makes perfect sense. As you talk about the beast, this is the beast. You know, by the way, there's a lot to be said about altering the DNA code and the genetic structure, and this messenger and this tied to 5G. By the way, they're gonna this thing. They're ramming this thing up. And it's tied to the central banking system. Now, I've actually had memos from my bank that's just shocking. I mean, I've been with the same bank for 25 years, you know, and I have two business accounts with them. And they'll send out these little memos saying, you know, as if it's their business, are you COVID-19 prepared? what business is of my bank to try to delve into my medical privacy?
Right.
You know, but yet, and that's why you have companies now that have people working offline at home. Okay, at home, they're not going into an office, but because they're working for some company that requires that they get a vaccination. They have to get a vaccination even though they're working from home. And so this is satanic. I'm just going to say it. It's satanic. And what Robert is saying is absolutely true. I mean, whenever a person tries to replace God's order and his creation and alter it, and mandate other people to alter what's going on in their bodies is absolute evil. Absolutely.
And also, you know, if I can piggyback on what you're saying, I don't know if you guys know about the birth certificates and the social security numbers. I don't know if you guys are aware of, like, the evil that's behind all that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we have. We followed it, you know, where it all started when we were, you know, we became a non-entity. We sold out to the system. It's just like a friend of mine who recently his wife had some, you know, he's been married to his wife for a long time. And she started having mental issues, and he realized after studying the Bible and everything that he was wrong in ever taking a marriage certificate from the federal government, because he was absolutely absconding his covenantal relationship with God. Okay, giving the and I don't want to get too off track, but no, I'm totally with you, Robert. And the same thing with the Social Security, the birth certificate, the whole thing was in.
So,
yeah, go ahead.
The reason why I mentioned that is that because with the birth certificate and the social security number, and this is something that I started to get really caught up in, but I wasn't sure if it was a distraction to keep me away from, like, you know, the gospel. I mean, no one's going to be saved by hearing about the truth of the Social Security and the birth certificate.
Right.
You know, people are saved by hearing the gospel preached. But I see that, are they not, because the birth certificate and the Social Security number, you can still, that's not you. Like, we use that, but that's not you. You know, that's a piece of paper that we've been deceived into becoming surety for. The corporation, that's a corporation that was created, that something that's dead. We, as a living being made in the image of God, we give life to that by being deceived that thinking that that's us. But we can still distance ourselves from that. And what if this vaccine is a way for them to now, you know, they can patent that. That's their creation. We didn't create the birth certificate. We didn't create the Social Security number. That's their creation. But now with this vaccine and them being able to alter or change the DNA so that we're no longer made in the image of God. But now, and as far as I understand, you cannot patent something that's natural, because that's God. It's, you know, man cannot patent something that's natural. It's a creation of this world. You can't patent natural things, because that's just, I don't know what law that is, but there's a law that says that you can't do that. But you can patent something that's not natural, that's been modified. And so what if now what they're trying to do with the birth certificate and the Social Security number, now they're trying to make that be inside of you and patent you, because you're no longer with this, your DNA being changed. Now they can patent you. Now they own you. You see what I'm saying?
Does that make sense? And, you know, in reality, Robert, you know, and I don't want to minimize anything you're saying, because you're absolutely right. But I mean, unfortunately, I can't speak about other countries, but I can tell you in the United States, my dad told me a number of years ago, and when he said it, I thought, oh, that's never going to happen. But my dad said, you know, he died when he was 92, or was he 93? Anyway, he said, whenever the government controls 60% of people's income in a country, then that country, you know, in other words, there's not any liberty left. Now, for an example, in the United States right now, maybe hard to believe, but 40% of the people are on some form of government assistance, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. They work for the federal government. They're in the military. They work for a federal employer or a federal contractor. And so that's why Biden is putting this push on to mandate these vaccinations and require, and of course, there's been some pushback, but yes, I mean, this is kind of all in a simultaneous vein. I heard a person making an argument in a university, and she was saying that all Social Security recipients should be mandated to have the vaccination because, you know, they have a social responsibility to protect their neighbors, okay? That was their argument. Do you see where they're going? Can you see where they're going with this? Because there's people, I mean, my wife and I, we receive Social Security. I paid into it for years and years and years and years and years. My son is on disability income. You know, and so just in our family, you know, if they made it a mandate that my son Mark, being on disability, my wife Rosette, and myself, we all had to have the vaccination or we would no longer get our Social Security, that would decrease our total income about over a third. Okay. Well, you know, that doesn't sound like, and the reason I'm going back to the money issue is because I look at the reality of it. You know, when it says they will not be able to buy or sell, say they have the mark. And they, in other words, in my vernacular, they will not be able to participate in cult in society if they don't subscribe to this. Right. Am I overgeneralizing here?
No, I totally agree with you. I think, and we were talking about this last time, is the dispensationalism. People don't want to believe that this could potentially be the mark of the beast because they've been taught that we're going to be raptured out of here before that comes.
That's right. And by the way, Robert, there are ministers right now that are having a heyday with this because they're saying, and I'm not, I believe in the imminent return of Christ. I just don't know when he's coming back. Okay. Right. But there are people out there that are saying, we're going to be out of here. We're right on the verge. We're there, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope I am raptured.
Right.
Okay.
Amen.
But I don't believe it's biblical. Because we're going to be caught up at the, and when the last trump, there's no secret rapture. Every eye is going to see him. Okay. There's no secret rapture. God doesn't, operate that way. And he said in the same way that I left is the same way I'm going to return. I mean, people were standing out looking at him going up into the clouds. That's the way he's, but I don't want to get off on that. I have a question I just want to throw. And by the way, Robert, because we kind of started early, I want to pause and just have a word of prayer. You prayed last time. I'd like, John, would you just say a word of prayer that God would be with us in this fellowship and he would guide and direct us? Would you do that for us?
I'd rather have one of you guys do it. I'm not very well versed in that.
Okay, that's all right. Dear Lord, we just come before you tonight, and we ask that you would lead and guide and direct us in everything that is said. And we know your Holy Spirit has already indicated that you would do that for your people. We ask that you would cause us to be receptive to your guidance, whatever that might be, and that you would give us your grace, and that we know we're already recipients of it, but we want more, as much as we can get. We just ask that you would be with us tonight. We ask this in the name of Christ and for your glory alone. Amen.
Amen.
Well, J. Michael, I'm glad you joined us tonight. You've been on my mind quite a bit. You and Rick, tell Rick that I'm thankful for his correspondence with me during the week. Sometimes he'll send me something and it's very edifying. His timing is good. And you tell Rick that I love him and I appreciate his edification.
Yeah, sure. I'll pass it along. Does he know about these calls?
Yes, I think he was with us last time, for part of the call at least. And I want to also welcome Louise, who's with us tonight. And Louise, I'm glad, the last I heard from you, you were feeling better, and I know you're back to work now, and I'm hoping that you're able to have the energy, that you need to sustain after going through what you and Elijah have gone through. And I want you to know that you and Elijah are in our prayers as well. And I had another question for Walt. Walt, you mentioned that when you were kind of on your trip that you were kind of, and you even mentioned it tonight in the call that you found that you were kind of reflecting back. on major events in your life. And then you attribute a lot of this to, you know, what's going on in our culture right now. Could you expand a little bit on that for us?
Well, when I went to Pasco this last weekend, I, Brian, he's got a son, 22, and anyway, what really grabbed me this weekend, he told me about a young man that works for the same company that his wife works. She works for the Atomic Power. They got one little generator there in Hanford. And he works, and he was talking about this young man that works on these windmills. You know, and when I drove up the gorge this week, I seen, 20 years ago when I drove truck, you know, these gorge, I might have seen a couple, but they weren't around. But what really grabbed me is this young man is 32 years old, and I just went by his house as a guest, you know. And he started talking right off the bat, you know, about how ridiculous these windmills are, in the fact that they're supposed to be energy, oil free. Well, there's 360 gallons of oil every time they pull maintenance on one of those windmills, and there's hundreds and hundreds of them. They have to replace 360 gallons of oil. And he went on and on, you know, and then he moved over to the vaccine. And he's been given a mandate too that he's going to have to quit. This is this young man. And also he's a father of three children. And you know, those children were just playing and just being children. And I'm telling you, a family that's raised their children at home, the homeschooling is a much different atmosphere. And you know, it kind of saddens me because the strength that this man's got and the way he talks. I mean, in other words, you know, we can't run from this. We can't run from this. And then he moved into the vaccine, see, and he's not going to get a vaccine either. And you know, like I said, I, and then this morning I had a friend call me and said that, you know, he said, Walt, you know, I've never had anything. This is the saddest part of my life. Well, I didn't want to, and I think I'm no different than anybody else. I mean, you know, but now the Bible's not just, it's just not, the Bible is a history book. It is, Amen. There's history in the Bible.
Amen.
But it doesn't tell us about, you know, and warn us about an epidemic that, you know, that was going to, you know, the whole world, but the behavior is being warned. The behavior that Bible is just as prevalent today as when it was written.
Amen.
You know.
Well, you know, also, Walt, I mean, this is another, and this is something I've reiterated to everybody, and I know it, sometimes when we're down, we don't necessarily want to hear it, but I mean, Christ made it eminently clear of what was going to happen, you know, in not only the 24th chapter of Matthew, but all the other parallel gospels. And scripture says, you know, and when you begin to see all these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And then it says, comfort one another with these things. And I think, for God's people, and Walt, I know we've talked about this before and we're in agreement on this, but this has given us overwhelming evidence of the fact that we're children of God. the fact, the reason I say that is because we are so opposed to this, we're not going along with it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that find it. Narrow is the way that leads to life eternal, and few be that find it. And it's not anything in of ourselves. It's because it's been revealed to us.
Right.
You know, and so that's what I see. And so, Rosette, my wife, she'll say, she'll remind me of this often. She'll say, Larry, you know, we just have a very short time down here on the face of the earth, just a very short time. And she'll often say things like, "Hell, I'm looking forward to, it'd be fine with me if he came back right now." Okay. In other words, we need to encourage ourselves that we're not going to live, like Walt says, he's 77 years old. I'm 68 years old. And, I hope I don't live to be 77 years old, Walt. I hope that I'm out of here, okay? But anyway, that's just neither here nor there. But I, when we look at the realities, John, a number of months ago, was on another fellowship call with us, and we were talking about it. This was what earlier part of when this vaccination was going on. And, God had revealed to us back then what was behind, and the evil, the mind control, the programming, And now people are starting, this fake, whatever it's called, what's the new virus? What is it called, Robert?
Omicron.
Now, they found that on some earlier science fiction movie or something. I mean, it's so obvious what they're doing. They're creating, it's going to be one virus after another virus after another. It's all about them. It's all about control is what it is. And so, I'm just glad to know that, my only hope, like I said in this morning's devotional, is, he is my hiding place. He is my rock. He's my anchor. When everything else seems to be coming against me, I'm so happy that we have a anchor of the soul, a shelter in the time of storm, There's no other consolation. It's like Walt says, there's no other place to go to. Where else are you going to go? That song, where could I go but to the Lord, right?
Well, and that's what, when Jesus said to the disciples, "Will thou also go away?"
Right.
Peter is like, "Lord, where are we going to go?"
That's right. Where are we going to go, Lord? You hold the keys to eternal life. Right. I mean,
right.
It's a vivid example of you don't have any free will.
remember, Walt, whenever they all started wearing the mask and I did that message, all you mask wearers, where's your free will now? Okay. So anyway.
Well, and you know, the thing, like my, like give an example, my landlord, I've lived here for 20 some years. And Rick today brought me up a piece of apple pie, and he makes good pie, but I don't talk about the pandemic with him because I know his position. He's not malicious, but I know his position by his bumper stickers.
Right.
I have a compassion for everybody I see. I mean, this has got the same implications of the flood.
Right.
Now the Bible verses, it tells us the battles and the tribulations of the in the Old Testament. What I mean when you look at Noah, you know,
and we are in the ark. Just remember that. All of us,
that's right.
If we're in,
that's right.
If we're believers, Jesus Christ is our ark. Okay. Amen. He's our protector. Yeah. And you know, you can't add or subtract to the body of Christ. You know?
Amen.
I mean, whenever he closed the door in the ark, nobody else got in.
That's right.
And you know,
and Noah wasn't the one that closed the door.
That's right. That's right. God closed the door. And Amen. You know what? That goes back to that. That's why I got crazy and sang that song this morning. You know, it wasn't just good. Because the song, you know, I was sitting there one night and that just came to me. I mean, obviously God brought it to me, but you know, a lot of people have everything reversed, you know. Looking back in history, we see events unfold, and the greatest story in history is the greatest story ever told. It's not just a novel. No, this story is true, how God sent his son to die to redeem his chosen few. The plan was determined between the Trinity, and this great story in history would be a certainty. God would redeem his people, a ransom he would pay. Christ would be slain on Calvary in history on that day. You see, Scripture tells us that he was slain in eternity before the world began.
Right.
It was predetermined. Yes, it was his master plan. And so, you know, there's so many people out there that talk about, you know, whenever Adam fell, God had to orchestrate option B. No. You know, you think that God... And that gets down to the conversation about Satan. You know, people say, why do you always want to go back to... Because it's the reality of the foundation of the decrees of God. You know, I ask people all the time, could God have caused Satan not to fall if it had been his...
Yes,
God can do anything he wants to do. Because he's not independent. He's totally independent of his creatures. He's not dependent on his creatures. So God created elect and non-elect angels. And it just so happened Satan was one of those that was... And by the way, if you want to prove me right, why does Scripture talk about the elect angels? I was talking to an old primitive guy one time, and I went into that passage about... You know, elect angels. And he goes, oh, that's ridiculous. Just because they're elect angels doesn't mean they're non-elect angels. Really? Really? And then he started denying the fall of Satan, you know? And we have Scripture that tells us how that Satan fell from heaven. And he took a third of the angels with him. But it was all preordained by God. And people say, well, why would God do that? Well, Scripture tells us the reason that God did it is to provide redemption for his elect.
Amen.
Through his son, Jesus Christ. So anyway, that's I didn't mean to get off subject, but, you know, it's good for us to go back to the foundational principles that, you know, if we deny original sin... If we deny, I got so tickled the other day, you know, I shouldn't have got so tickled. Bill Gaither, you know, here he's a Southern gospel, you know, and he's touting all of these lies, you know, he's talking about universal atonement, and he's written some good songs, you know, but the problem is, you know, when you put on a Southern gospel conference, and your main musician starts playing Everything is Beautiful, you know something's wrong. Okay?
Right.
Because listen, everything isn't beautiful. We're living in a fallen world.
That's right.
Okay, we're depraved. And apart from the, you know, we're born and if we're dead in our trespasses and sin, something needs to happen to us. And I was dead in my trespasses and sin. I was totally involved in the New Age movement for 8 years. I mean, I can tell you, I was on the road to hell. And of course, I didn't realize I was God's elect, but God revealed it to me later when I started studying His Word, and I was a brand plucked from the fire.
Amen.
People ask me all the time, how did you get out of that? I go, I didn't get out of it. God rescued me out of it.
That's right.
You know, and so, but anyway.
And also, Larry, it makes me think about that scripture where he says, there's going to be a deception so great that if it were possible,
yeah,
even the elect shall be deceived.
And the Armenians will say, even the elect will be deceived. No, they will not.
Well, I've heard him misquote that, and I'm like, whoa, that's not what it says.
That's right.
That is not what it says.
It's impossible for the elect to be deceived.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the reason it's impossible is all that the Father hath given me will come to me, and all that come to me I will in no wise cast out. I saw a post on Facebook today, and it said, I am getting sick and tired of these people that believe that once saved, always saved. And I just put on there, well, you know what? I don't believe that the Bible teaches temporary life. I believe the Bible teaches eternal life.
That's right.
And if we're truly one of God's elect, if He's truly died for us, you know, I guarantee you that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing.
Amen.
So, anyway, well, listen, it's about 16 minutes after 8. I like to keep these around an hour. I hope Robert and I haven't been just dominating the whole thing. John, J. Michael, Walt, do you have any further things to add tonight?
Well, no, though there is a question that comes to my mind. You know, I find I've lost all of ambition to try to straighten somebody out on this, on this pandemic. I mean, why is it that Bob, why is it that Larry, everybody on this call, that the vaccine is so evident of what it is. It's not our intelligence.
No.
You know, it's like that young man, Corey, that, you know, I mean, I have to admit, but listening to Corey talk and these kids playing at his feet, you know, just being kids, laughing and being youthful, you know, it's all I could do is keep myself from tears. Because, you know, even when I go to the store today, you know, in the mask, the masks, when I go into the store, I don't get angry. There was a time that over a year ago, maybe I was stiffening my legs a little bit. And, you know, remember Larry when I put that shield on and I had all those sayings on it? Well, I lost that. I went to the store one night, put my groceries in and left the shield up on top of this and drove off and lost it. Well, I have no ambition to replace it.
You know, and it's real easy, you know, to, I'm only speaking for myself, but Satan, likes to come at God's elect in some really strange ways. And you know, God is there. And by the way, Satan can only go so far. We know that with Job. Okay.
Amen.
during the very first part of the pandemic when they were all wearing the mask and everything, I went into a Walmart and there was a gal that she was, you know, kind of a feminazi type, if you know what I mean. She was very aggressive and she had her mask there and she says, mister, here's your mask. And, you know, sometimes the flesh just takes over. You know, I'm not proud of it, but I said to her, no, mommy, I don't need a mask, mommy. Thank you very much. Okay. Because she was so paternal. I mean, I was old enough to be her father and she was treating me like a kid. Okay. Well, the reason I'm bringing that's what the government is doing to everyone. They're treating people like they're your parent. We know what's best for you. Okay? We have all the answers. And so like Walt says, and like Robert has said, and John has said, and I know Louise believes the same thing, is that we have one Father, and it's our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We don't need a pope. That's a form of Roman Catholicism, if you think about it, when you try to go. And Pope Francis is is a personification of, and I don't want to get off on this, but, you know, people are missing a big component of what's going on right now. You know, this, we have been chided, Walt and I have been chided for pointing out the profound influence of the Jesuits and the Roman Catholic Church over the world, over the whole world. And, you know, how it's all going to end up with the ecumenical influences and evangelicals and Catholics together. Well, now we have all kind of concordance with every nation, with the Roman Catholic Church. How it's going to end up, I mean, I agree with you, Robert. I think that this dimension of this DNA, and how they're going to control the masses. You know, I saw an article the other day. It said 30% of all the deaths last year in the United States was a result of medicine. Think about that. 30% of all the deaths in the United States, either people overtaking medication or just the side effects of the medication they were taking. It's like I knew some people that were involved in the medical profession, and they said that there are more deaths, okay, when people get involved in the medical profession and go into hospitals than if they just stayed totally out of the system. If they, you know, what's the scripture say? Physician, heal thyself, right? In other words, the body has within it not only the antibodies and everything else to heal itself. And we want to put all these foreign objects into our body. You know, that's what just about killed me when I had that food poisoning, because they prescribed three medications, and then what got my attention is when I came home and started reading the side effects of the three medications. And I looked at Rosette and I said, they're going to kill me with this stuff. I'm not taking any more of it. Okay, and that's what, you know, that's just an example of what they're doing to us genetically. When they start altering, and then they start telling our body how it should react, you know, through these spike proteins and so on, there's going to be the people that are in the know say that there's going to be around 2 billion deaths in the next 3 to 5 years. 2 billion over this. So, well, listen, I'm going to kind of end it up. Anybody else have anything to say before we conclude?
Yeah. 2 billion is about one third of mankind. You know, let's say 2.5 billion is about one third of mankind. You know, which is in the Bible. It may or may not be related to this event. I just wanted to say, you know, the proof that we're elect. You can go back to many verses, but 1 John 5:5 crystallizes it. You know, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? If you believe in Jesus says the Son of God, you have overcome the world.
That is so good. In fact, it also goes on to say that anyone who says that Jesus Christ is not the eternal Son of God is Antichrist. Amen. You know? And so there's the
You said that we're in the ark right now. I mean, the scripture that comes to mind is Noah was perfect in his generation.
Amen.
Noah was perfect in his I believe it says genetic makeup.
Yep.
Yes. Right. Yes.
You know, his genes were not contaminated.
Amen.
Another analogy than the ark would be leaving Egypt. You know, we're being separated from the world right now. We're already restricted from many activities. In many ways, we're also leaving Egypt, you know.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Which mystery of Babylon is called spiritual Sodom and Egypt, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good points, John. Very good points. And, you know, I'm glad to know that Brother Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Okay. It wasn't that Noah executed his free will and let Jesus into his heart. Okay. Jesus Christ had already chosen Noah before he was even born to be a recipient of his grace. Okay. And that's
all. And like it says in Romans 10, brother, he says, I was found of them that sought me not.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's like Walt said, he was going down the road one day listening to these different New Testament tapes in his truck. And he said, somebody asked him, you know, well, how did you come to accept Christ? And Walt said, I just told him, well, God elected me. Okay. Where did that come from, Walt? You were listening to Ephesians and John 6 and John 17 and, you know, and when people reject all of those passages of scripture, for a different gospel, you know, it's amazing. They get real defensive about it. But I remember Walt saying, you know, I'm one of the elect.
Amen.
You know?
Oh, I realize even to date, especially what's happening right now, why is it that I have such feeling? Is it because of the goodness of Walt?
No.
It's the breaking down of God. God is, you know, is breaking us all down a little bit to realize, I mean, you know, how many, you know, it says it four or five times, and once in the red letters, it says, let no man deceive you. And it's so evident what they're doing that Bill Gates, you know, Bill Gates and also something that Bob said earlier too, you know, we've heard this depopulation program. We've heard it for years.
Right.
Well, it's here.
Right.
It's here. And you know something, you know, I'm sure not the, but it puts you in the right frame of mind. I'll tell you, it shows you, you know, praise God, the fact that you know, I have some sorrow in my, you know, but if I didn't understand what was going on,
yeah.
I mean, and God's only going to allow so much.
Yeah.
There's going to be, you know, and you know, I used to, you know, when I realized the influence of Rome on the world, you might say on Rome's universal influence on the world, it had a lot of, you know, impact on me. But now it's here. It's here. Some of the things that are, it's in Revelations, and some of the things, I mean, because you see, Revelations was just as prevalent back in Luther's time as it was right now. And, you know, I...
Just take comfort. Just take comfort that you've overcome the world.
Amen.
Well, and I see the world, I mean, you know, and also when I see the world, I see myself.
Amen.
You know, it's a, and the fact that there's six of us here tonight, you know, and I realize every one of you, brothers and sisters, I think when I start having a little pity party for myself, I think of Louise out there delivering that junk mail, and most everything she delivers is junk mail. And then I think of Michael J. You know, he's still got to make a living. He's got to go out and rub elbows daily. You know, and
Robert's out there in the field. I mean, he's out.
And John.
Yeah, Robert, are you in Oklahoma now, or?
I've still got my work clothes on. I haven't gotten to take a shower yet.
Yeah, I know.
Well, yeah, I'm in Oklahoma right now. Currently at I'm doing the electrical at a roof shingles plant.
Okay, interesting. I need a good electrician right now. I wish you were up in Northwest Missouri. Going with me tomorrow, I'd go take you on a couple projects, but anyway.
I know we were talking about that before.
Yeah.
And that would have been awesome, you know.
Well, listen, guys, I'm headed out the morning at 6 o'clock. I'm driving up to Northwest Missouri, going up there for some business, and then we're going to come back Friday, but we'll look forward to next week. Those that can be with us Sunday, you know, you're welcome during our regular Sunday morning call. And those that can't, you're welcome Wednesday. And I'm just glad we all could be together tonight. It's been a real blessing.
Amen.
It's been a blessing. And we love everybody. And you're in our prayers daily. And I covet your all's prayers as well. So I'm going to conclude this if anybody has any, unless somebody has anything else to say. I don't want to cut anybody off.
No, that's that. And we'll see on Sunday. And I just, it's a blessing that we, you know, as I kind of look forward to this tonight, and it was a kind of a blessing because I tuned in an hour. I was going to take a little nap. And John was there an hour early, so we were both an hour early.
Oh,
so
that's
we fellowshipped until you guys showed up. But yeah, you have a good week, Bob. Too, you know.
You too, brother.
You're still in the workforce too, and praise God, it's the salt of the earth that keeps us together here.
So, well, Louise, have a good week, John. J. Michael, thanks for popping in tonight. We love you, and y'all, I'm going to... Go ahead, Jay. You were cutting out. Go ahead, J. Michael. I think you were just saying... Go ahead, J. Michael.
Can you hear me? Oh, I don't know if you can hear me, because I'm at a job, and... You might hear in the background some time off or water running, but anyway, I don't know if I'm coming through. I got a bad reception here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Well, thanks for the fellowship, men, and brothers and sisters. Love y'all.
All right. Good night, everybody.
All right, brother.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.